Hello, my lovely Buddhas. In today's reading, we will be completing volume 1 of The New Human Revolution. So we will be reading from page 331 to 353. Let's begin. Next, Shinichi Yamamoto outlined the three guidelines that he had stressed consistently throughout his visit to the United States. That Japanese members who had moved to this country should acquire 1. Citizenship, 2. A driver's license, and 3. A good command of English. The members expressed their fresh determination with resounding applause. Finally, it was time to announce the formation of the new chapter. Shinichi spoke with still greater energy. Los Angeles is an important region that will become the center of the Kosen Rufu movement in America. For that reason, I wish to announce the establishment of a chapter here today. Loud applause and cheers of approval greeted this. The participants were aware that districts had been established in various parts of the United States, but now, to their great surprise, a chapter was being formed right here in Los Angeles. They felt like dancing for joy. Everyone sensed that a new age had arrived. Within the chapter, 6 districts were also formed: St. Louis, Olympic, First, West, Long Beach, and San Diego districts. The new chapter and district leaders were then announced. Those whose names are called, please come up to the front. For Los Angeles chapter chief, I ask Akio Ishibashi to take on this position. Are you agreeable to this? Shinichi asked. Mr. Ishibashi was a steady and amiable-looking man in his early 40s. He made no move, however, to come up front. Mr. Ishibashi, please come on up. After Shinichi repeated this request 4 or 5 times, the man finally came out front. When he did so, however, he walked up to where the Soka Gakkai president was sitting, crouched down beside him, and, gripping the back of his chair with one hand, said imploringly, "The position of chapter chief is really beyond me. I think it would be better if you asked someone else." This, no doubt, was Ishibashi's honest feeling. Shinichi looked him straight in the eye and said, "You won't do it even if I asked you as a personal favor?" Ishibashi stood there looking perplexed. "Will you, then?" pressed Shinichi. "Yes," replied the man, as if resigning himself to his fate, his tone not reassuring. Shinichi then spoke sternly. "Taking responsibility as a leader in the organization is the quickest way to develop one's life condition. Rather than deciding it's beyond you before you even try, it's important to accept the position of humbly and challenge yourself to the very limits of your ability. 2 other men who have a great deal of experience will be there to help you. So I ask that you please make a resolute determination and try your best." He then read out the names of the 2 men who would serve as chapter staff. Next, Shinichi Yamamoto announced the appointment of the chapter women's division chief. "I ask Kiyoko Kuwano to accept the position of chapter women's division chief, and I would like to appoint Kazuko Elik, who has been active as a key figure among the women, to serve as the district chief of St. Louis district." Mrs. Kuwano had only arrived in the United States 10 months before and had not yet achieved anything substantial in terms of her faith-related activities. She reluctantly stood up and said to Shinichi, "Sensei, I'm sorry, but I don't think I could possibly manage being the chapter women's division chief. I'm really not that capable." "Don't worry, I will protect and support you. Please have confidence and do your best." "I will," she said in a small voice. "Well, then, how about saying a few words?" he asked. Urged by Shinichi, the woman addressed the audience. "I have no experience, but I'll try my best. Thank you." When she heard the announcement of the new chapter women's division chief, Kazuko Elik's face had clouded over. Her heart burned with jealousy as she watched the exchange between Shinichi and Mrs. Kuwano. Tears came to her eyes. "Why wasn't I appointed women's division chief?" she raged silently. "Why is she being appointed women's division chief? It's not right. I worked much harder than she has." The district leadership positions were then announced, and Kazuko Elik's name was called as district chief of St. Louis District. But she refused to answer, turning her head away in a huff. First it had been the chapter chief, Akio Ishibashi, then the new chapter women's division chief, Kiyoko Kuwano, and now Kazuko Elik. The leadership announcements were turning out in a way that would have been unimaginable in Japan. The district chiefs appointed that day were all women. In addition, Nagayasu Masaki was appointed as the young men's division leader for North America, while Yuji Nakahara, a student from Japan, became the Los Angeles young men's division leader. Chikako Hayashida, the young woman who had earlier greeted Shinichi at the reception desk, was named the district level leader for the young women's division in Los Angeles. After all the leadership announcements were made, Shinichi said, "Mrs. Elik, Mrs. Kuwano is older than you. Is it okay with you if we appoint her as an elder sister to fulfill the role of chapter women's division chief?" "No," she shouted angrily. Looking somewhat at a loss, Shinichi said, "I can't get you to understand then? Well, you've got me stumped. All right, Miss Kiyohara, could you explain the situation to her thoroughly later?" With this, he concluded the leadership announcements. He then offered some final words before closing the meeting. President Toda declared that the Soka Gakkai organization was even more precious to him than his own life. "This is because our organization is the lifeline of Kosen Rufu. We can think of it as a water supply system. If the system is in perfect working order, then we only have to get pure, fresh water. We use this water to quench our thirst, cook our food, and wash our bodies. It plays an indispensable role in sustaining our lives. In the same way, the Soka Gakkai organization may be called a water supply system of faith, in that it supplies people with the pure energy of faith and nurtures their capabilities. If the leaders who play key roles in the organization lose their seeking spirit, they will be like pipes disconnected from the water source. Also, if the hearts of leaders are impure, then only dirty water will flow through the pipes. If they fail to take action, the water will grow stagnant and eventually rust the pipes. Moreover, when leaders are on bad terms with one another, it's as if the pipes have ruptured. I therefore hope that all of you will work together harmoniously to protect and develop this organization, which has appeared in accord with the Buddha's intent. This is my most cherished wish." After he finished, he presented each person with a souvenir fukusa and a copy of the Soka Gakkai, the book that had been published to introduce the organization's activities to English-speaking audiences. He also spoke encouragingly to each person. When he came upon a woman holding a 2 or 3 month old infant, he picked the child up in his arms. "What a cute baby," he said, gently covering the infant with a fukusa that he held in his hand. "This fukusa is for your baby," he pronounced. The woman then addressed Shinichi. "Sensei, next year my husband is being transferred to Seattle, so I will have to move there with him." The Japanese woman was married to a U.S. Army officer. She sounded forlorn at the thought of having to move to yet another strange new place in this already unfamiliar country. "Is that so? I've just recently been to Seattle. It's a wonderful city, you know. The climate is pleasant and the scenery is beautiful. It's great that you'll be going there. What good fortune you have to live in such a wonderful place." "Really? I had no idea that Seattle was such a nice place. I've never been there, so I've been worried what it would be like," said the woman. her eyes now shining brightly. "A district has also been formed in Seattle," Shinichi commented. "So please do your best when you get there. Ride through the beautiful landscape of mountains and rivers as if you were a queen on a white horse." "Yes, I will," the woman said cheerfully. Shinichi happened to glance down and noticed a book sticking out from the woman's bag on the floor. The Japanese book, The Collected Treatises of Josei Toda, had just been published by the Soka Gakkai at the end of August. Smiling, Shinichi said, "I didn't know this book had already made its way here. Shall I write something inside to commemorate our meeting? May I ask your name?" "Yes, it's Masako Clark." Handing her baby back to her, Shinichi then wrote with swift strokes of his pen, "Illuminated by the mystic law, may you soar like a queen." "Thank you," said the woman, with tears in her eyes. Her expression reflected her deep resolve to continue struggling courageously in her new home. A person's frame of mind dramatically affects how he or she looks at things. Buddhism causes the sun of courage to rise in people's hearts, leading them to take everything as a source of hope, joy, and growth. Guidance is the catalyst that inspires people to transform their state of mind. Seeing Shinichi signing the book, a young man came up to him and said, "Excuse me, would you mind writing something as a memento for me too?" It was the youth who had taken their photo at the airport. He had just started practicing the Daishonin's Buddhism 1 month before. Shinichi wrote, "Faith, practice and study." This prompted other participants, with books and notepads in hand, to gather around Shinichi. The Soka Gakkai president spoke briefly with each person, thanking them for their efforts and penning a short message of encouragement for each. After the meeting, Shinichi gathered all the leaders appointed that day in a separate room. Kazuko Elik sat in the front row, still obstinately refusing to look in Shinichi's direction. Shinichi and the other leaders from Japan had deliberated long and hard over the leadership position they had finally assigned to Mrs. Elik. Everyone recognized she had applied herself energetically and displayed great enthusiasm in her activities. However, if an organization is to grow and develop, it is essential to forge harmony among the members, to use the maximum potential of each person, and raise the organization's overall strength. Leaders also need to have common sense, be calm and rational, and have a head for details. Given these considerations, even though Kazuko Elik may have outshone Kyoko Kuwano in terms of experience and activities and energy to take action, Shinichi and the other leaders had concluded that the latter would be a more suitable choice for the position of Chapter Women's Division Chief. The key to the development of the organization in Los Angeles lay in a firm bond between the two women. The organization's effectiveness is determined by the combination of different individuals. When leaders of various backgrounds, personalities, and thinking combine their energies, they can nurture people of rich and diverse ability, thereby creating a broad-minded, humanistic organization capable of facing any problem. The organization's true strength lies only in the harmony of its members. Mrs. Kuwano and Mrs. Elik had been appointed to their respective positions in the hope that they would become a powerful combination, supporting and complementing one another, each making up for what the other lacked. Shinichi and the leaders from Japan also hoped that by appointing Mrs. Elik, who had so far shown herself to be capable and hardworking as a key figure in activities here in Los Angeles, they would raise the awareness of all the other district chiefs. Shinichi continued in a strict tone. "The Soka Gakkai is, first and foremost, an organization of faith for people, an organization advancing just as the Daishonin teaches. Voicing discontent because you're not appointed the central figure is not an action based on faith. It is nothing but vanity, a sign of selfishness. all it does is undermine the unity of the organization that has appeared in accord with the Buddha's decree. Irrespective of the great achievements they may have attained in their past endeavors, those who behave this way have allowed emotionalism to prevail over faith. Equally selfish are those who demur from accepting leadership positions. This is laziness masquerading as humility. It is the sign of a self-centered nature. Buddhist practice means being willing to do anything at all for Kosen Rufu, to serve and work for the members. Naturally, there may be various circumstances, such as commitments at work, that make it difficult for you to fulfill a leadership responsibility. If this is the case, please feel free to discuss the matter with us so that we can work out something. Nevertheless, if the fundamental spirit of Buddhist practice is lost, then the Soka Gakkai will no longer be an organization of faith. The Daishonin urges, you should become the master of your mind rather than let your mind master you. America is a land of freedom. But freedom doesn't mean that we can do anything we please in the practice of faith. If we lose sight of the essential point of self-discipline, our hearts and minds will grow muddled and confused. And that means unhappiness. Our human revolution only truly begins when we resolutely determine to fight and live for Kosen Rufu based on the Buddhist law, instead of basing ourselves only on our own minds. Shinichi then addressed the two women, Mrs. Ellick, Mrs. Kuwano. I'm counting on you to work together harmoniously and pool your efforts with the firm resolve to dedicate your lives to Kosen Rufu. Shinichi's tone was stern. If either of you fail, he continued, it will be the other's fault. Understood? Yes, responded Kyoko Kuwano, nodding. Kazuko Ellick, however, remained tight-lipped. Come on, please shake hands. It will reassure everyone, urged Shinichi. Mrs. Kuwano extended her hand and looked at the other woman. But the moment their eyes met, Mrs. Ellick swiftly pulled her hand behind her back. This is getting us nowhere, said Shinichi with a wry smile. That evening, some of the newly appointed chapter leaders came to the hotel where Shinichi was staying. Here, the Soka Gakkai president concentrated on offering guidance to the chapter chief and the two chapter staff members. There is a saying that though it may be easy to break a single arrow, three arrows bound firmly together are not so easily broken. The secret to building a strong chapter is unity. It will be up to the three of you to work solidly together and take responsibility for protecting the members. If this proves too much for you, I will move the chapter to New York. All three men seemed honest and likable, but they lacked a strong awareness and sense of responsibility necessary for those who would serve as mainstays for the other divisions. Because he had high expectations for these men, Shinichi's guidance was strict based on a spirit of true compassion. Men play a vital role in securing the unity of the entire organization. Ultimately, the full responsibility for the chapter rests with the men's division. Men must have the magnanimity to tell the women and youth, please carry out your activities freely to your heart's content. The less ability and confidence a man has, the more likely he is to put on airs and behave in an authoritarian and arrogant manner. Others may outwardly appear to follow such a person, but in their hearts they will despise him. It is also important that men never under any circumstances vent their anger on women or shout at them. For it is women who are working the most earnestly for Kosen Rufu. It may have been a tradition in Japan in the past for wives to support their husbands and be supported by them in return. But from now on, it will probably be just the opposite. I expect this to be even more so since you are living in America, a country that, unlike Japan, follows the etiquette of ladies first. It is important that men discuss things with women and listen to what they have to say. One of the men asked Shinichi, I don't have the experience or ability to teach people about faith. What should I do when they come seeking my advice as a chapter leader? It was an earnest question. Shinichi smiled and said, Don't worry, you can gain experience from this position. Guidance and faith is the basis of the Soka Gakkai. This is different from teaching, which means to inform someone about something you have already learned. Guidance means to point out the direction to advance and then join the members in moving ahead along that path. So all you need to do is say, This is what it says in the Gosho. This is what the Soka Gakkai teaches. You can also chant with them and pray for their happiness. Anyone can do this, but it is the most respectable action we can take as human beings. There is nothing more heartening than having like-minded friends who pray for us. This is the greatest source of strength and encouragement. I plan to send leaders from Japan to support your activities in the United States in the near future. So if there's anything you don't understand, please don't hesitate to ask them. A seeking spirit is an important quality for leaders. Shinichi then went on to patiently outline the basics of leadership. When the leaders of the new chapter had left, Shinichi's companions gathered in his room. Shinichi asked Kiyoshi Jujo, What time is it in Japan now? Looking at his watch, Jujo replied, It's 10 minutes to midnight here. Japan's 17 hours ahead, so it's almost 5 in the afternoon on the 23rd. All right, let's send a telegram to Japan announcing that we formed chapters in Brazil and Los Angeles, said Shinichi. Jujo left the room to send the telegram. Shinichi waited until he returned and said quietly, How we at the Soka Gakkai headquarters develop the organization in America will be extremely important. Rather than attaching the overseas organizations to some general chapter in Japan, the Gakkai headquarters should be directly responsible for them and take active steps to ensure their growth. For that reason, I think we should establish an American general chapter comprising both North and South America. What do you think? Shinichi had suggested this idea repeatedly throughout their overseas journey and everyone agreed. Good, it's decided then, Shinichi announced buoyantly. President Shinichi Yamamoto and the other leaders continued their discussion until well after midnight. Shinichi dealt with one issue after another. We have to think about whom to appoint to oversee the new America General Chapter. For the time being, however, the responsibility of providing overall support will fall on the Soka Gakkai headquarters. So, Mr. Jujo, would you mind if I appoint you as the General Chapter Chief?
Not at all. Miss Kiyohara, I'd like you to be the General Chapter Women's Division Chief.
All right.
We'll ask Masaki and Aota to serve as the General Chapter staff. Let's also upgrade the headquarters overseas affairs section into a full-fledged division. We'll increase its staff and boost its operational strength. Joji Kanda is probably the only choice for division head. Let's leave the announcement of leadership appointments for the General Chapter and the new overseas affairs division until this month's headquarters leaders meeting. For the time being, though, let's go ahead and inform Japan that we've established the America General Chapter. With this, the groundwork for future activities in the United States had been laid. Despite his deep fatigue, Shinichi's mind continued to bring forth an endless stream of ideas and plans, and he went on to describe his hope-filled vision for Kosen Rufu. On the evening of October 23rd, two international telegrams arrived one after the other at the Soka Gakkai headquarters in Japan. Their contents threw everyone into a state of excitement. The first read, Chapters formed in Los Angeles and Brazil, stop Jujo. The second, North and South America made Central Chapter, stop Jujo. Those senior leaders and staff members who were still present at the headquarters when the telegrams arrived could vividly sense the waves of worldwide Kosen Rufu surging powerfully across the seas. They were also deeply touched when they pictured President Yamamoto continuing his valiant struggle into the early hours of the morning. The next day, Shinichi and the other leaders set off on a tour of Los Angeles, visiting, among other places, the University of California at Los Angeles. The campus was wrapped in lush greenery and birds could be heard chirping in the treetops. Shinichi recalled how he and his mentor, Josai Toda, had discussed grand plans for establishing a university. Their conversation had taken place at a time when Toda was struggling amid great hardships, his business having run aground. "Shinichi, let's build a university someday," Toda had said. Mr. Makiguchi also cherished this idea. "If I can't realize it in my lifetime, then you do it. Education, after all, is the foundation on which peace is built." Shinichi would never forget the look in his mentor's eyes as he said this. Strolling through the campus of UCLA, Shinichi said softly to himself, "The Soka Gakkai will build a university, Soka University." Indeed, only 11 years later, this dream would become a reality. Finally, it was October 24th, time for Shinichi and his party to return to Japan. 40 to 50 well-wishers were waiting in the lobby to see them off when they arrived at the airport shortly after 11 a.m. The members gathered around Shinichi, the air filled with their joyful chatter. "Sensei, please come to America again," said one young woman, looking rather wistful. "I certainly will, and I'll keep coming back until every one of you is happy. In return, I ask that all of you please come to Japan next year. Let's meet again there. And as a souvenir, please let me see how happy you've become. The greatest gift that you can give me is to say that you have received great benefit and become happy." As the members engaged in bright and lively conversations, Shinichi treated everyone to refreshments. Catching sight of Yuji Nakahara, the Japanese student who had been appointed leader of the young men's division in Los Angeles, the Soka Gakkai president raised his glass of juice and proclaimed, smiling, "To the glorious future of the young people of America." It was a toast to the development of the youth division whose members he loved so dearly. At the very back of the crowd encircling Shinichi, a woman stood watching this cordial exchange with a mournful expression. It was Kazuko Elek. After that fateful discussion meeting at which the Los Angeles chapter was formed, she had gone home weeping bitterly. She was deeply vexed and disappointed. "I've worked harder than anyone," she thought. "It's not fair that I wasn't appointed chapter women's division chief." She was too worked up to do anything when she got home, her mind in utter turmoil. Deciding she would pour out her innermost feelings to the Gohonzon, she began chanting Daimoku. At first, tears flowed steadily, but as she continued chanting, she gradually calmed down, regaining her composure. Shinichi's guidance now returned to her with vivid clarity. Viewing the situation more objectively, she saw that being disheartened merely because she hadn't been appointed the chapter women's division chief was certainly not behaving in a manner that accorded with faith. Instead, this attitude was symptomatic of an egoistic desire for honor and recognition. Realizing this, she was filled with deep shame and regret over her earlier attitude, convinced now that she had made an irreparable error. She was so distraught she couldn't eat the next day. "What shall I do?" she thought agonizingly. "Will Sensei forgive me if I apologize sincerely for my behavior? But even if he doesn't, I still must apologize to him." It was with this resolve that Kazuko Elek had made her way to the airport. She looked for an opening to apologize to Shinichi, but she felt so small and so self-conscious that she couldn't find the right moment to tell him. Shinichi sat down on one of the chairs in the lobby and began to write brief words of encouragement for the members who held out books and notepads. "Oh dear, what shall I do?" Kazuko Elek agonized. I can't get up the nerve to tell him. But if I don't apologize now, I'll probably regret it for the rest of my life." She pushed her way through the crowd and bowed deeply. Summoning all her resolve, she said, "Sensei." Shinichi looked up at her. "I'm sorry. Please forgive me for having been so unreasonable." She looked at Shinichi somewhat apprehensively. He smiled at her kindly. "Yes," he said, "it's important to be sincere in faith. Those who are pure-hearted in faith will definitely savor victory in the end." "Yes, I'll do my best from now on." Mrs. Ellick was deeply grateful, tears glistening on her cheeks. It occurred to her to ask him to write a message for her as well. She held out a book and said, "Sensei, please write something for me, too." "All right, but you're the last one." Shinichi rose swiftly, valiant and assiduous practice. Shinichi, October 24th, Los Angeles Airport. He then called over Kyoko Kuwano, the chapter women's division chief. "Mrs. Kuwano, I would like you and Mrs. Ellick to get along well. The two of you have probably been sisters from the distant past. If you pool your energies, the organization will be solid. I want you to create the world's most harmonious chapter. I have high expectations for you both." "Yes," their voices rang out in unison. Shinichi smiled and nodded in satisfaction. "Sensei, it's almost time for us to board," Aisuke Akizuki informed him. Shinichi stood up and bowed deeply towards the gathered members. "Thank you for coming to see us off despite your busy schedules. Let's meet again. I'll be waiting for you in Japan. All the best." The members sent him off with a round of applause. Walking briskly, Shinichi took his leave, like a gentle breeze awakening the frozen earth from its slumber and heralding the arrival of spring. He had made the light of hope shine in their hearts. Japan Airlines Flight 811, with Shinichi Yamamoto and his party on board, left Los Angeles at 1:45 p.m. After a brief stopover in Hawaii, the plane continued towards its final destination, Tokyo. An announcement had informed the passengers that their flight would be more than an hour late, arriving at Tokyo's Haneda Airport, where they were originally scheduled to land at 9:35 p.m. It was now almost 10:30 p.m. on October 25th in Japan. Shinichi lay back in his seat and closed his eyes. Though the fever and bouts of diarrhea that had plagued him throughout the trip had subsided, the muscles in his neck were knotted together tightly and his back ached. Yet he felt a pleasant sense of fatigue as having fulfilled his mission and giving his utmost to its successful completion. Looking back, he and his party had left Japan on October 2nd, following a punishing schedule that took them to 9 cities in 3 countries in 24 days. In that time, they had realized the formation of 2 chapters in 17 districts. They had sown the golden seeds of Kosen Rufu in North and South America. Shinichi thought that President Oda would surely be pleased with his endeavors. The face of his beloved mentor came vividly to his mind's eye. "Asia is next," he thought. "We must do our best to bring the brilliant light of peace and happiness to shine on Asia, just as Sensei hoped when he wrote. To the people of Asia, who pray for a glimpse of the moon through the parting clouds, let us send them instead the light of the sun." Plans were already in place for Shinichi to travel to India, Burma, Thailand, Ceylon, Cambodia, and Hong Kong from the end of January the following year. Also on the anvil were visits first to Europe and then to the Middle East. Shinichi cherished boundless dreams for worldwide Kosen Rufu. To realize his vision, he knew he would have to pour his whole heart and soul into constructing solid local organizations around Japan, since they would serve as the foundation for the Kosen Rufu movement throughout the world. A mountain of tasks and events awaited his attention. These included a series of inaugural meetings for the formation of chapters in the Kanto, Koshinetsu, and Hokuriku regions of Japan, which were scheduled to be held from the following week. Also slated were general meetings for the young men's and young women's divisions and a number of other events. Shinichi was only 32 years old. He was still young. But life seemed all too short when he thought of everything he had to achieve during the limited span of a single lifetime. His first overseas trip was now drawing to an end, but for Shinichi, it simply marked the start of an unending journey for peace. His entire being was filled with profound resolve, his heart overflowing with a dauntless spirit of challenge. The plane had begun its descent. Below, he could see the dazzling lights of the city. They were the lights of Tokyo, the headquarters of the Kosenrufu movement. That, my fellow Buddhas, brings us not only to the end of today's reading, but also completing Volume 1 of The New Human Revolution. I can only hope that reading this is as inspiring for you as it is for me, and I would like to thank you for being with me on this journey. Next time, we will start with Volume 2, and I will see you soon.